Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj, offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 27. Griheshu Dareshu Suteshu Vandushu Dvipotama Syandana Vaji Vastushu Akshaya Ratna Paranam Bharadish Vananta Kosheshva Karoda Sanmatim. Griheshu, in the homes. Dareshu, in wives. Suteshu, in children. Bandishu, in friends and relatives. Dvipa Uttama, in the best of powerful elephants. Syandana, in nice chariots. Vaji, in first class horses. Vastushu, in such things. Akshaya, whose value never decreases. Ratna, in jewels. Abharana, in ornaments. Ambara Adishu, in such dresses and ornaments. Ananta Kosheshu, in an inexhaustible treasury. Akarot, accepted. Asatmatim, no attachment. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Ambarish gave up all attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends, and relatives, to the best of powerful elephants, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses, and inexhaustible jewels, and ornaments, garments, and an inexhaustible treasury. He gave up all attachment to all of them, regarding them as temporary material. Purport, anasaktasya vishayan, itarham upayunjitaha. Material possessions can be accepted as far as they can be used in devotional service. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. In preaching, many things considered material are needed. A devotee should not have any attachments to such material involvements as house, wife, children, friends, and cars. Maharaj Ambarish, for example, had all such things, but he was not attached to them. This is the effect of bhakti yoga. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo virakta anyatra cha. Bhagavatam 11.2.42. One who is advanced in devotional service has no attachment for material things for sense enjoyment, but for preaching, to spread the glories of the Lord, he accepts such things without attachment. Anasaktasya vishayan itarhum upayunjitaha. Everything can be used to the extent that it can be engaged in Krishna service. So the translation again, Maharaj Ambarish gave up all attachment to household affairs, wives, children, friends, and relatives, to the best of all powerful elements, to beautiful chariots, carts, horses, and inexhaustible jewels, and to ornaments, garments, and to an inexhaustible treasury. He gave up all attachments, all of them regarding them as temporary and material. Now the question is, why do we, of course we don't have any elephants around here that I know of, nor do we have any chariots. You have an elephant? Is it your elephant? Do you have any attachment to it? A little bit. Can you give it up? Okay. So yeah, generally most of us are not too attached to elephants, not too much attached. We don't have so many chariots to give up. We don't have so much jewels either, probably. And we certainly don't have an inexhaustible treasury. But we'd like those things. But why do we want those things? I mean, not every one of us would want those things. They did a survey to find out what happens to people after they win a lottery. And 90% of the people who win a lottery, they lose all their money within 5 years. And most of them become very depressed. Because we think that if we get, what is our actual goal for all these things? Just like Pariksha Maharaj, he was the owner of the, much more than we can consider, even this little tiny place we call the earth. He was the proprietor of, I guess, at least Jambudvip, or a good part of it. And he had unlimited wealth, beautiful wife, children. And yet he was cursed to die within 7 days. So naturally, if we were cursed to die within 7 days by a snake, then we go to an Ayurvedic doctor and find out if there's a remedy. Start taking anti-snake venom, etc. But Maharaj Pariksit, he was not disturbed. As a matter of fact, he went to sit down on the Ganges and inquired what was his duty. Finally, Shukadeva Goswami came and he asked him, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? Now, the interesting thing is that this is one of the questions in the Bhagavatam that pertains to all of us. It's something that any one of us could ask. Now that I'm about to die, of course, that would take a great deal of introspective thoughtfulness to consider that we're about to die, because the illusory energy is going to tell us, oh, I'm not going to about to die, I have at least 50 years left. That's long, long away. Why should I worry about dying? It's for people who are morose. I'm trying to figure out how to live and enjoy. But Pariksha Maharaj, he only had 7 days left to live, and he actually inquired about that. Now, as I've said before, if you go to the university and ask the learned professor, my dear professor, you have so much knowledge, you've studied for so many years, please tell me, what is my duty because I'm about to die? What will the learned professor say? He'll probably call the police. That here's a man, I think he's about to commit suicide, he might be a terrorist, he's threatening he's going to die, maybe he'll take all of us with him. Because this is the last question people want to find out about. They don't want to accept that they're about to die. They want to find out how they can prolong their life as long as possible. If you inquire, how can I live longer? Then people will give you so much advice. Do yoga. I took this vitamin pill. I feel better. Go take this test or that test. Breathe more deeply. Starve yourself, but not to death. So many different advices you'll get. How can I live longer? But what should I do when I'm about to die? Oh, my poor person. You must be morose. I have the address of a psychiatrist. Maybe he can help you. Give you some drug to make you feel better. But Pariksha Maharaj asked that question to all the sages. What should I do now that I'm about to die? And they all argued with each other. Not that their arguments were all wrong. It's just that they were unacceptable. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga. How much time do we have to practice? Even karma yoga. We don't even know what our duty is. And if someone tells us what our duty is, we become very disturbed. Why are you trying to direct me all the time, telling me what to do? You think I'm a puppet? I have my free will. Leave me alone. My duty is to be free, to discover things by myself, not to be so much oppressed by your philosophy. Or jnana yoga, to find out what we're supposed to do in life. I already know I have so much knowledge. I've been to school, I'm not a fool. I know so much. And what to speak of Astanga yoga? I can touch my toes, I'm all right. I'm practically self-realized. And of course then there's bhakti yoga. Love, of course I love. I love Krishna, I love everyone. You don't have to teach me about love, I can teach you about love. But then when we're about to die, well, at least Pariksit Maharaj knew he was about to die, then he became very inquisitive. What should I be doing? And everyone's giving him, touch your toes, study the Bhagavad Gita, chant your rounds better. And then finally Shukadeva Goswami, he asked him. And Shukadeva Goswami said, Varyan esha te prashna, krito lokita ripaha, atmavat. Samatam pumsam, shrotavyadishu, yat paraha. That this question is actually valuable. Finally, someone asked a good question. Imagine you gave a class, and at the end of class, someone raised their hands. Excuse me, Maharaj, what should I do because I'm about to die? Oh, really? What's wrong? Of course, we might have the answer. But Pariksit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami was actually enlivened to hear this question. And he said, this is the one question that's beneficial for everyone. Both the person who asks the question, the person who gives the answer, and all the audience who hears it. But, Shrotavyadishu Rajanja, Srinam Shanti Sahasrashaha, Apashyatam Atmatadvam Griheshu Grihane Medina. But generally speaking, people have hundreds and thousands of questions. Not only amongst the human beings, but even the birds. As I've given you bird language the last time I talked about that. The bird is going beep, beep. Do you know what that means? Do you remember the bird language? That's right. And beep, beep, beep. Right, right. So you know another language. So, even the birds, they are inquiring. Everyone's inquiring. But what are they inquiring about? Nidraya nriyate naktam vavavayena chavavayam divya charateha rajan katumba baranena va. That nidraya, at night, everyone's inquiring about how to sleep. How can you sleep better? How can you sleep? And deep sleep. Everyone wants deep sleep. Deep sleep when you're completely unconscious. That's what everyone's goal of life is. If they can become completely unconscious, their life has become successful. Then if they have a dream, they think it's very special. If they can remember a dream, it must be something mystical. And then if it's about Krishna or Prabhupada, then they're enlightened. They want to find out what it meant. We don't think about Krishna or Prabhupada during the day, but at night, if we can think about him for 5 seconds, we think we're self-realized. Well, during the day, there's much more of an opportunity to think about Krishna and Prabhupada and devotional service. But at night, people are very much interested in sleeping, because it's understood if you can't sleep nicely, you go crazy, because we're already crazy. But then we realize we're crazy. We become even more crazy. And rite daktam, vavavayena chavavayam. And by sleeping and eating properly, because if you don't eat properly, you can't sleep properly. And if you can't sleep properly and eat properly, you can't mate properly. So if people can mate properly, eat, sleep, mate, and defend properly, then they consider their life is quite good. And that's what they're inquiring about. How to improve my eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Which is not wrong, because even in the Hare Krishna movement, even in our philosophy, we know how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. We have a perfect philosophy for it. But it's in Krishna consciousness. And then in order to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, divya charateha rajan, divya, and during the day, they're working hard to get money. Because unless you get money, you think, I can't eat, sleep, mate, and defend very nicely. Kutumba barneneva, and maintain my family. So why do I want to maintain my family? What's all this about society, friendship, and love? All the glorious things that are going on, all the songs, all the poetry, the books about romance. What is it all about? Why are we searching for our soulmate? What are we actually looking for? What's the real motivation behind it? What is all this glorious material existence about? So Sukadeva Goswami, he says Deha means the body. Deha patra kalatradishu atma sanyekshva satsubhi tesham pramato nidanam pashanapi napashiti. Deha apatya, the children, and kalatra, the wife, and adishu. So this body, my children, my wife, and all the other things that come along with it, family, friendship, and love, why am I attached to them? Why am I in love with these things? Why am I so much desirous of attaining these things? Basically speaking, Sukadeva Goswami, because Atma Sanyesha Satsupi, they're my soldiers. So when I get old and ugly, they'll still love me and take care of me. So everyone's afraid I'm going to get old and ugly and I'm going to be chanting Hare Krishna, but in Tivoli Park, underneath the tree. The only people who love me, the only ones who love me now, are the squirrels who come and get some nuts from me. Otherwise, no one pays any attention to me. So everyone's afraid of that, so they want society, friendship, and love. But divyachara, deha patya kalatra atma sanyeshva satsupi, asatsupi. But they themselves can't protect themselves. How are they going to protect me? Tesham pramato. So this is all due to madness. Nidanam. Pashanapina pashanapina. We can see that no one's being protected. No one's stopping. No one can prevent someone else from leaving their body. And if we leave our body in a very comfortable position, what's the sense of that? What is the value of having a nice, comfortable bed to leave your body in? Do you really care? His death was successful because it was comfortable. He went to hell. The Yamadutas dragged him away, but they took good care of him because he was a nice demon. They took him to hell, but they gave him a nice pad to sit on the way down. So we're so much attached to maintaining this body, and making sure it's comfortable, but it's never really comfortable. Of course, it's not that we neglect the body or try and make it uncomfortable, but that's not the goal of life. That will not make any difference at the time of death to us. And it's at the time of death that will determine where we're going to next. And where we're going to next has a lot more meaning to where we are now. Because where we are now is all meant to help us achieve a better destination in the future. And if we don't achieve a better destination in terms of higher elevated consciousness, then our life is a failure. The human form of life is a failure. Therefore, tasmat bharata sarvatma, Bhagavan Ishvara Hari, Shotavyas Kirti Tavyas Ma, Smartavyak Chehetavayam. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami once said, we should hear about, we should chant about, and we should remember Krishna. Now we're having classes and we're hearing about Krishna, and maybe someone's chanting about Krishna, and hopefully we're going to remember Krishna, so that we can do it all day long, not just for 5 minutes. So we can understand the reality of the situation, that these elephants, the wife, children, all these different things, they may be utilized, as Prabhupada says here, in Krishna's service, but ultimately they're not going to protect us. It's not that the more elephants I have, the more I feel protected, especially in we think, in the olden times they had elephants and they protect them, so we should get a few elephants for the temple. Maybe we'll feel better.
More safe.
Or nowadays it's locks on the door or whatever, so we can feel safe. But none of these things will protect us from death. And when we're supposed to die, we die. And ultimately, everything is under Krishna's control. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishingha nartasya chagadam udanvatam majito nao tat prividir ihanja shestas tvavido tunubritam upekshitanam. Prahlad Maharaj said that if Krishna wants, then the child will grow up and become healthy. The parents can protect him. Or the medicine will be effective, or the boat will cross the river. But if Krishna doesn't want, then the child will die. Nowadays, in parts of the world, you're lucky if you get out of the womb. The first people want, if you feel paranoid in the womb, is because your mother is trying to kill you. Generally, you hope your mother's going to protect you, or the parents will protect you, but they're the first ones to try to kill you. And in the medicine, nowadays, medicine generally is poisonous. The more medicine you take, the more likely you are to die. But you die peaceful, because you can't feel anything. You don't have a brain left to feel anything. So if Krishna wants, he may, by good fortune, he may get something that works, but then again you grow old and die anyhow. There's no permanent solution. And even if the boat crosses the river or the ocean, still you may die anyhow. You're going to die sooner or later. So that's up to Krishna, how long we live and how long we die. Krishna and our past karma. But ultimately, it's up to Krishna to decide. So rather than worry about how to protect ourselves, how to protect our body, how to protect our family, we should worry about where I'm going next, what my next destination is going to be. Do I actually want to go back to the spiritual world? Do I even believe it exists? Do I even believe the heavenly planets exist? What is my goal? Where am I going to, do I believe that after leaving this body I'm going to go somewhere? Or I'll just go puff and I just disappear. Where did so and so go, Bhakti or Dasi or Das? Oh, he just puffed and disappeared. Do we actually believe we're just going to puff and disappear? or do we actually believe we're going to go somewhere? Where do we want to go? Are we making any plans? Just like after this class, we'll have prasadam. At least we're making that much plans. We'll go there. Can we look beyond that? Can we see beyond that? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to do? What am I going to do in 10 years, or after this? 20 years, or 50 years, or after this body? Where am I going? And what am I going to do to get there? Do I actually believe? Because we believe there's some destination, and we're doing things to get there. We're going to put one foot after another to go to prasadam. And when we get there, is that the goal? It's part of the goal. But is that the ultimate goal? And then after prasadam, maybe we have some service, or maybe we look for a nice soft bed to meditate on Krishna, of course. So Pariksit Maharaj, he wasn't disturbed, because his goal in life was to obtain Krishna. He actually wanted to go back to the spiritual world. So this he saw it as an opportunity, and he took it by hearing and chanting about Krishna with rapt attention. And what did he do? He performed some austerity. Tapasya brahmacharyena tamena cha tamena cha. Or as Maharaj Shabdev said, Nanyan deho deha bhajam riloke kastan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye. Tapo divyam putrika yena sadvam shudyat tasmai brahmasokyam tanandam. That human form of life means to perform austerity. As it said in the previous verse, just to be here in class is an austerity. Who wants to hear that you're not God? People go to a concert or a movie because they want to imagine there's something they're not. And here we're being hammered with the fact that we're servants. How many people took birth to become a servant, a spiritual servant of God? It's the last thing people want to find about, that there's a God and it's not us. That there's an eternal God, he can't compete against him. He's everywhere, he has unlimited opulence, he knows everything. He's completely in control forever and ever and ever. And more than that, forever, of everything. And we're never going to be able to take his place. How many people have become enlivened? Oh, great, I'm just a servant forever. That's what I wanted to be. When they ask for when they ask, what do you want to do when you grow up? Oh, I want to become a servant. Why did you go to school for 20 years and get your PhD? So I can become a better servant. It's the last thing everyone wants to be, is a servant. Okay, I'm the servant, but if I become a servant, I get high paid. My God, you became a servant of God, and they don't even pay you. Poor thing. Don't tell your parents. Otherwise, they say, oh, my daughter is a physicist, my son is a lawyer. And what's about your other son? Oh, don't ask me. I'm too embarrassed to tell you. No, tell me. He became a Hare Krishna. Oh, no. I can't believe it. Did you beat him when you were younger? Is that what happened? Didn't you feed him? Anyhow, I feel sorry for you. I won't tell anyone else. It's too embarrassing. So the last thing people wanted, they think the lowest thing that you become is a servant of God. And they're doing everything to prove that they're not servant of God. They're collecting so many things, and the more they collect, the more they proclaim, I'm the master, I'm not the servant. Until it's all taken away, and then they still won't admit that they're not God. That they're not in control. And if they were in control, if all these things actually gave them control, then why is everything taken away from them at the time of death? What is the use of having 50 cars and King Ugrasena, he had 4 quadrillion bodyguards. But he left also. If he had 4 quadrillion bodyguards and he couldn't stay around, what about us? How are these things protecting us if we can't, at the time of death, we can't take them with us and they can't protect us? What is the value of them? The only thing we take with them is the reactions for acquiring them if we're not using them in Krishna's service. As they say, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. So people work so hard to get so many things, and in the end it's just a disappointment. It didn't protect me, and I have to come back and get the reactions if I did sinful activities in order to acquire them. King Nriga, he gave away more cows than there are stars in the sky. More cows to Brahmins, first-class Brahmins, than there are drops of water in a thunderstorm. And he just made one little mistake, and he came back as the lizard. So what are we going to come back? How many cows are we giving away? Have we made any mistakes? Offended any Brahmin? Therefore, our only hope is to chant Hare Krishna and just hope for the best and try to ask forgiveness for all the Brahmins we're offending. And we come back as a lizard, at least pray I can remember Krishna and that someone will take me out of the well. Maybe hopefully it was Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the lecture, Maharaj. When you mentioned what good does it do to us if we leave the body as it's healthy, I was thinking that sometimes there are some techniques in Buddhism, at least I know, that they are trying to leave the body conscious with the purpose of the staying present, because maybe in some cases, if the body is diseased, out of pain, you might go unconscious. I know that Buddhists can consciously leave their body, and so my question to you is, can a person that is actually diseased still go to Krishna? I mean, Bhagavatam describes we're living, we have this body that has 9 gates, and according to which gate we leave, our consciousness leaves this body, that's our destination. So can actually an unhealthy body that's maybe full of toxins or heavy metals still go to Krishna? Or it's still purposefully that we have healthy bodies?
No, a healthy body has nothing to do with whether you go to Krishna or wherever you're going. As a matter of fact, an unhealthy body is probably a greater impetus to go to Krishna than a healthy body. If you spend your whole life with perfect health and then suddenly you get sick at the time of death, because the time of death is kind of a sickness. It's the worst sickness you can get. It's terminal. Then you're not prepared, you're not practiced to think about Krishna. We have nothing to do with the body. It's just that we put our consciousness on it. So we think we're sick because the body is sick. That's our sickness. And if we realize we're not sick because I have nothing to do with this body, because I'm a spiritual soul, I'm an eternal soul with a transcendental existence, a transcendental body. I have nothing to do with it. So when I put my consciousness on Krishna, then I become healthy again. Then I really become spiritually healthy. It doesn't really matter what happens to the body if I'm spiritually healthy.
I'm sometimes struggling with this niti-niti process. I'm not this, I'm not that. And I'm actually trying to incorporate more of I am this, I am that, because Krishna is in that.
Yeah, you just have to think of one thing. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. If you think like that, and you think, under Krishna's guidance, through his representatives, I'm learning how to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. If you identify like that, then everything you'll do will be perfect.
Okay. There's one technique that Japanese have. They actually, when something is like really broken, like they have a technique in pottery that they tend to put gold in between the broken pieces. So instead of throwing it away, they mend it with gold, and it's supposed to have a greater value.
So I'm sure it does. I'll take some of those broken pots myself.
So I'm thinking in our relationships, when some relationships are really broken, sometimes, I mean, easy way would be to just escape and or just leave or just say, you know, whatever. But I think to make the pot functional, the alchemical pot of transformation, to make it functional, can we still strive to mend it with some gold and
with some Krishna consciousness?
Yes.
That's the highest goal.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Khala Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.